The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Barton Hahn said what? Russell Wilson's frustration has led his camp to broach trade destinations with the Seahawks. Sources tell The Athletic the teams include the Dolphins, the New York Jets, the Saints, and the Raiders, from Adam Schefter. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson has not demanded a trade, his agent Mark Rogers told ESPN. Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle. He wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, the only teams he would go to are the Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears. Interesting. We're going to keep our eye on that. Meantime, you know how hilarious this is, Knicks fans, Lakers fans? You know how hilarious it is that the Lakers, missing AD and Dennis Schroeder, so it's like their second and third best players. I realize it's a big drop-off from second to third, but, you know, Schroeder's the only other guy on the team other than LeBron who can create for himself and others, right? And AD is half of their superstars. So the Lakers, without those guys, go on the road to face the hottest and best team in the NBA right now, the Utah Jazz, who are shooting the lights out. Remember what I've been saying about the Lakers? The only elite offensive and defensive team in the NBA? In fact, that's the Jazz. Since AD's been out, the Lakers are not, they haven't been the same. The Jazz, Utah Jazz, are the only team in the league. This was true about the Lakers for most of this season, but now it's true about Utah and not about the Lakers. Top five offensive and defensive efficiency in the NBA. Jazz are the only ones. So the Lakers lose that game on the road. They still have the third best record in the conference. And Lakers fans are oh, God, what's going to happen? And you're feeling bad, right, Lakers fans? This is how hilarious Knicks fans are. Knicks fans right now host the Sacramento Kings tonight. Sacramento Kings are a bad team. They're one of the worst teams in the NBA. They're not like among the two or three worst, but they're one of the worst teams in the NBA. They're always like they're under 500 as usual. And the Knicks are two games below 500. Is this a must-win game for the Knicks? Now think about that. If you lose to Sacramento, you're not going to be a 500 team this year even. You're not going to make the playoffs if you can't beat Sacramento in a home game to get to within a game under 500. Like, the Knicks face a must-win home game against a bottom feeder team, and Knicks fans are pounding their chests. Lakers are defending a championship, and they lose to the hottest team in the league on the road. And Lakers fans are feeling bad. Oh, I used to be a Knicks fan. After almost 40 years, I realized this is never going to change as long as Dolan owns the team. I became a Lakers fan. Oh, it's just a much better experience, I can tell you. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let me tell you. Well, this is Straight Talk. Let me tell you why I'll tell you a quick story. I had to consider, I was living in New York at the time, I had to consider, because there was an opportunity to host Afternoon Drive in L.A. And I had to consider whether I wanted that job. Because I believe if you're hosting a local radio show, you have to root for that team. People are not trying to hear you root against their local team. And New York, I know you're like, yeah, but you're against the Knicks. But you know where my heart was for most of my life. I just couldn't take the abuse from James Dolan anymore. Still root for the Yankees, the New York Football Giants, the Brooklyn Nets, insofar as I have a rooting interest in New York basketball. But I think if you're a local host, you got to root for the team. I hate these local hosts. You know they don't really love your team. So I thought when I got the job offer, all right, I'm a Yankees fan. I'm not giving them up. But then I looked at the Dodgers, and I thought, you know what? The Dodgers, Don Mattingly was the manager at the time, and they're from Brooklyn originally. I could root for the Dodgers as my NL team. If they play the Yankees in the World Series, I'll root for the Yankees. But until then, I'll root for the Dodgers. Sure, why not? They didn't have a football team, LA, at the time, not an NFL team, right? But the Rams were rumored maybe they'll wind up in L.A. And I thought, I mean, you know, I could root for the Rams on the West Coast. I'm not going to root for them against the New York Football Giants, but it wasn't even really an issue then. And I thought St. John's hasn't been relevant in forever. What, am I going to root Rutgers football? No. So I thought, can I root for the Bruins? Can I root for UCLA in basketball? Let's say, yeah, I can do that. Can I root for USC in football? I don't really have a college, a rooting interest in college football. Yeah, sure I can. Why not? They've had great teams. They're interesting, too. Trojans and Bruins? Yeah, I can. It came down to the Knicks and the Lakers. Could I give up my Knicks to be a Lakers fan? And I thought about it for about a day. And I had an epiphany eventually. I said, what am I doing? The Knicks have given me nothing but misery and heartache my entire life. Jim Dolan is one of the worst owners in sports. On the other hand, the Lakers were trying for a three-peat at the time. They just won back-to-back championships. Kobe and Powell, the Buss family, Dr. Jerry Buss was still around back then. Yeah, of course, not only could I root for the Lakers, my whole life I wished the Knicks were the Lakers. Every time the Lakers did something, I said, right, that's how you do it. Why don't the Knicks do that? Became a Lakers fan, for real. An actual Lakers fan. And just today it occurred to me, what a difference in lifestyle. A Knicks fan. Knicks fans are feeling cocky right now. 2 games below .500 hosting the Kings. You know what that makes that game? A must-win. It's a must-win game. And Lakers fans are depressed in a title defense, having won a championship, hopefully getting a healthy AD back eventually, knock wood, and having LeBron James still dominate the league because you lost to the hottest team in the league on the road. Oh, what a difference in lifestyle. That was Straight Talk. Wireless, no contract, no compromise. As I said, look, the Lakers got smoked by the Jazz. Fourth consecutive loss. It's the largest loss of the season by margin, and then also in terms of consecutive losses. They're 5-5 now without Anthony Davis. It's a .500 team. I mean, rough spot? Or are you concerned for the Lakers? Let me tell you what the concern is. The actual concern is this. The Lakers have very good supporting pieces if you have LeBron and AD, because the other team has to really focus on that. And LeBron and AD make role players much better. They're the kinds of players, especially LeBron, but when you give them a guy like AD, you know, if KCP is getting hot from the outside and you're watching a Lakers game and you're a fan of the other team, you go, oh, well, if KCP is going to be hitting shots like that, we can't win, because you have so much on your hands with LeBron and AD. But if you don't have AD, what you need at the very least is one guy other than LeBron who can create for himself and others. Talen Horton Tucker can create for himself, but he's not, you know, and he had like 5 assists last night, but he's not really like not a point guard. And KCP is not really a point guard either. They need Schroeder has outsized value to this team. So, look, you don't have AD or Schroeder, it's going to be rough sledding for the Lakers, and I think they're also a little bit tired. Here's LeBron on the losing streak.
It's always about staying confident, continuing to give my teammates the courage and the confidence out there on the floor and to make plays. And, you know, it's a tough stretch for us, but, you know, this won't define who we will be for the rest of the season and for the long haul, that's for sure.
Markieff Morris, after the Lakers lost, said, we need these challenging times. He said, this is new for all of us, but we need it. If you ask me, we need it because you never know with injuries. You never know in the playoffs. You never know. We need these challenging times to find out who we really are. He also said that the playoffs are different. Like Utah Jazz, right now the Utah Jazz is the best team in the league, and they are reminiscent of the Spurs. Everyone's saying it, writing it. Tim McMahon wrote about it on ESPN.com. I totally agree. They are reminiscent of the Spurs. They move the ball. They pass up good shots for great ones. They play unselfishly. They have an ideal kind of the platonic ideal of a point guard in Mike Conley. And they have a superstar wing scorer in Donovan Mitchell, who is usually excellent. And when you need him most, is a superstar. He's great. And then you swapped out Joe Ingles in the starting lineup, really. Essentially, for Royce O'Neal, and it's interesting, they're like mirror images of each other. You know, Ingles is a versatile offensive player who's also a good defender, but his specialty is offense, but he can also defend. And Royce O'Neal's the opposite. He's a competent offensive player because he can really shoot and he's a willing passer. But he's a spectacular defender and super versatile defensively. And because he can really shoot from the outside, and because you have Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley creating, and you have Gobert rolling to the basket, then a guy like Royce O'Neal is just murder in the starting lineup. And then, of course, Bogdanovich, who can shoot and pass and the whole thing. So that's very tough starting unit. And Lakers fans will remember Jordan Clarkson, second-round pick, who's really aggressive, but he was the typical kind of, like, stat stuffer on a bad team guy. Who bad teams, fans of bad teams look and they say, oh, he's good, but you know inside maybe he's not so good. But Jordan Clarkson is now 28 years old. He's been around the league for a while. He's in his prime in the sense that physically he's at his height and he's got the mental aspect of the game down, an emotional aspect of the game down now, and he's in a great situation. He's bombing from three, seven, eight, nine threes a game, hitting like almost 40% of them. Great sixth man this year. Utah's got a whole lot of Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst now on the Goodyear Hotline. Utah's got a whole lot of.
Yeah, they do. They got a whole lot of players, a whole lot of depth, and they have a whole lot of chemistry. And this is why they're the best team in the league right now.
They are right now, but I also agree with Mark. And by the way, the Spurs won with teams with like Hall of Famers on them, but no guy at the time where you're like, oh, that guy's a superstar because Duncan was a little older, Kawhi was young, Ginobili and Parker were both excellent, but maybe not, you know, MVP level. But the Spurs won championships like that, and they're reminiscent of the Spurs. But I know what Markieff Morris means when he goes, this isn't the playoffs. Like, as much as I like Utah now, Perk, if AD is healthy, I like the Lakers. If the Nets get to the finals, because they're doing this right now, they're the second hottest team in the league and they don't even have KD, I like the Nets. Is that something real, what Markieff Morris is saying about the Jazz in the playoffs? Or are the Jazz so good that, like the Spurs, they can overcome not having super-duper stars like KD and LeBron on the team?
No, first of all, Markieff Morris was wrong because the Jazz and Donovan Mitchell showed us glimpses last year in the playoffs. Donovan Mitchell went on a tear. You forgot he was averaging over 40 points in the playoffs against the Denver Nuggets, who had some elite defenders guarding him. I mean, like, this team is ready. Like, Bogdanovich is a guy that I think that can elevate his game in a crucial moment. And by the way, this Utah Jazz is not inexperienced. Mike Conley has been to the Western Conference Finals a few times. Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, all these guys are playoff battle tests. They've been in the playoffs. They haven't reached the highest level, but they have been in the big moments. They haven't reached the finals.
You know something,
yet.
though, Perk? You said something there about Mike Conley. Like, Mike Conley's one of my favorite players. He's like the perfect point guard, but like a version of a Chris Paul kind of player in a way. But and everyone says, like, he's not a stat stuffer, so you don't really appreciate him. But if Mike – I think it really does come down to Conley. If Conley can play like a bona fide star in the playoffs, they have him and Mitchell with Clarkson off the bench and Gobert and all that stuff, then they have a chance. But Conley's going to have to elevate in the playoffs into a – like, Donovan Mitchell's going to need a crime partner on the offensive side. You think Conley can do that?
Yeah, he could do it, Max. I mean, and he don't have to do much. All he have to do is give about 19 to 20 points a game. See, the beauty of the Utah Jazz is that they spread the wealth. You never know who's going to step up. Just think about this. About three games ago, Jordan Clarkson went for 40 off the bench, okay? 40.
Yep.
40. Royce O'Neal, a guy that you love, that you like. Don't you like him, Max?
I love Royce O'Neal. Royce O'Neal is one of the best defenders in the league. Like, the versatility on defense, the level at which he defends everyone is kind of ridiculous, especially considering he can really shoot and he's a willing passer. I really like Royce O'Neal.
Right, and then Bogdanovich is a guy that could give you 20 points a night, the way that he hits shots. And look, please, let's not forget about old-looking Joe Ingles. Ingles is
born
crucial for them. Right. And then look, you're gonna get about 20 to 22 points combined between Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors just because the way that they're able to pick and roll and their ability of finishing around the basket.
So I didn't even mention. I didn't even mention Derek. I didn't even mention Derek Favors. He's like the eighth guy on the bench, but he's now at the point of his career where that's the thing about the Jazz. They have guys who accept their roles and are excelling in those roles. Kendrick, you talking to Kendrick Perkins right now, ESPN NBA analyst here on the Goodyear Hotline, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. You said to me on the air today, and we're dealing with a delay, so I don't know when to respond. Nowadays, the COVID days, we're all in different locations. You said, you know what my day job is, right? You know what else I do? You call Celtics games. And you were insistent today on First Take that it is an effort issue and it's a coaching issue right now in Boston. Kendrick, I look at the Celtics and I see a hobbled Kemba Walker and I see Marcus Smart's not there, and I'm not ready to pin it all on Brad Stevens.
Well, I'm not, Max. Here's the thing. I'm not pinning it all on Brad Stevens, but he's taking at least 50% of the blame. I mean, listen, majority of the season he has had Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, okay? Both of these guys are all-stars. Both of these guys are capable of erupting for big nights. Now, Max, my side job from ESPN that I already got permission to do so I won't get in trouble – is that I do pregame, postgame, pregame, halftime, and postgame. So I watched every single one of the Boston Celtics games, and I continue to see the same trend night in and night out. Role players not knowing their roles or really not caring what Brad Stevens have to say, because I'm watching Tristan Thompson, like I said before, catch the ball at the elbow and go downhill trying to go between his legs and attack a big, just doing stuff that a role player not supposed to be doing. You remember when I told you earlier today on First Take about when I was playing with the Celtics and I had a wide open and I took a jump shot at the start of the game because I was wide open because people used to sag off me like Ben Wallace. Mm-hmm. And Doc Rivers pulled me out the game, and I went back and forth with Doc Rivers, and I said, I didn't say this, but I'm telling you this now because I just thought of it after the show, that I told Doc Rivers, man, Doc, I was open. And you know what he told me?
There's a reason you're open.
Yeah, it's a reason that you're open. And he said, if you want to shoot those shots, you can go somewhere else and do it because you're not going to do it here. You're going to be a ball mover, a screen setter, and a guy that finish around the basket because we're trying to win a championship. And if you don't want to do that, Perk, we'll find somewhere else for you to go. And Doc didn't just approach me like that. He approached everyone like that. And that's coaching. That's holding guys accountable. And that's why guys win championships. The great Phil Jackson, did he not hold Michael Jordan accountable? I mean, look, if you're going to accept a coaching role in the NBA, this is not Butler, okay? This is the NBA. You're dealing with guys. You got to be willing to go toe-to-toe with guys that are making $200-plus million, Max. You got to be able to meet them at half court and get on them and set the tone for them messing up coverages or not playing hard or whatever the case may be to get. You know what, Doc? Let me tell you something. Doc Rivers, his first year in Boston, Paul Pierce didn't get back on defense, and Paul Pierce was playing lazy in one game. Do you know Doc Rivers subbed him out the first 3 minutes of the game, and him and Doc and Paul and Doc went back and forth? And Doc said, you're going to play hard. I don't care who you is. That's establishing who he is from the jump and telling and setting the tone that if I'm not going to tolerate it from my superstars, I'm not going to tolerate it from anybody else. And Doc and Paul never had a problem since then, Max.
Kendrick Perkins, before I let you go, by the way, you notice how Joel Embiid's having the year of his career so far, and who's coaching the Sixers. Right. I'm not saying that there aren't levels to this. I'm saying Brad Stevens is a good coach who's got he could be doing a better job. I don't think he should be on the hot seat.
Yeah, but I'm not knocking that.
Look, I want to get to real quick. I want to get your opinion on the New York Knicks, because what's crazy is outside of New York, like nationally, the Nets are a story, but still in New York, it's a Knicks town. Like, it's still in New York, there's so many people who care about the Knicks. Even after all the abuse they've suffered following this team this whole year. Real quick, I got 30 seconds, or their whole lifetimes. I got 30 seconds, Perk. The Knicks are playing Sacramento tonight. They're two games under 500. Is this a must-win game for the Knicks? Like, don't they have to beat Sacramento at home if they hope to be even a 500 team and make the playoffs this year?
They will beat Sacramento at home. You know why? Because Coach Tom Thibodeau holds guys accountable. And that's why the Knicks are one of the best defensive teams in the league. So they will beat the Sacramento Kings at home.
Who'd you rather have, Thibodeau or Brad Stevens? Who'd you rather have, Thibodeau or Stevens?
I tell you what, I'm going to tell you this before you cut me off like you always do when I say bye, nice having you on, Perk. I'm going to tell you right now.
Perk, I don't do that. The producers do it. I don't do that.
Okay, I'm going to get on the producers. I'm going to get on Bubba and everybody else who I be talking to. But I'm going to tell you this. If Tom Thibodeau was coaching this Boston Celtic team, I guarantee you they wouldn't be two games under 500.
Guys, don't drop Perk. Don't drop Perk. Perk, I agree with you. It's because I go too long because I enjoy talking to you, and eventually they just cut you off. But let me say, Perk, it's good to have you on the show, brother. Always love it when you come on.
Hey, always a pleasure, Max. I love having you. Hey, look, anytime. Yeah. Look, I'm talking about 2-3 times a week, all right?
I hear you, brother. I could talk to you all day, every day. I love chopping up about sports with Big Perk.
I don't want to talk to you all day, every day, okay?
Well, all right.
I took
it too far. Is that what you're saying?
Appreciate it.
You don't love me anymore.
I appreciate it. You my boy, but I don't want to talk to you all day.
Well, I was being hyperbolic, but okay. See, this is why I don't say goodbye to you nice. I can't be nice. Kendrick Perkins joined us on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. Should the Jets draft Zach Wilson at number 2? Hear what Mel Kiper thinks. Coming up next. Finding great candidates to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you could post your job to some job board, but then all you do is hope to find the right person, right? Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter instead. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. It's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. See for yourself right now. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. What should the Jets do at number 2?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. I see your calls on the Knicks and Jets. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Raj clearly hit some button, and now I hear nothing at all, in spite of the fact that everything's plugged in. Raj, please.
Well, you're looking good. You're looking good on TV. I can hear your voice, but we've decided to let Max Kellerman go a cappella this segment.
I hear that, yes. Should the Jets take BYU quarterback Zach Wilson at 2? Listen to Mel Kiper earlier today on Barton Hahn.
Obviously, you think about Deshaun Watson. If you can get Deshaun Watson, you're certainly going to make that trade for the New York Jets. There's no question about that. So there are other options for the Jets beyond sticking with Sam Darnold if they feel there's a better way to go. But for me, Wilson would be a sideways move with Darnold. I would much rather have Darnold and Kyle Pitts than Zach Wilson and no Kyle Pitts.
Well, how about this, Mel Kiper? How about this, by the way? I understand what he's saying. Sam Darnold's been in a terrible situation. Look at Baker Mayfield, basically 4 head coaches in basically 2 years, like 2 years and a game. 2 seasons and a game, he had 4 different head coaches. Well, of course he was no good. There's Alex Smith in the beginning of his career, right? Most guys aren't Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes would be great wherever he went. Most guys aren't that, even the good ones. Need the right situation. Very few independently great. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, those guys. Well, I get it, but Sam Darnold's been bad. He's been kind of the worst starting quarterback in football, other than Carson Wentz, which is why Wentz didn't start after a while. But over the course of his career, who in the NFL who's played that many times, like had that many starts, been worse than Sam Darnold? I don't think anyone. So it's not. I understand you're not going to look as good as you might under bad circumstances, but dead last over, what, 3 seasons? I don't know. I think he can do better. Maybe he pans out, but really you want to wait and wait and wait and find out. And meantime, if he does pan out, then you got to pay him. And he may not be elite, but you may have to pay him as though he's a franchise quarterback when you're kind of squinting and hoping that that's the case. No, I'd rather have, forget about Zach Wilson. I'll take Justin Fields. And you can move back in the draft and get Justin Fields. You can pick up more draft capital and get Justin Fields. Ask Jet fans. You'd rather see if maybe Sam Darnold will eventually work out and you get him a good tight end? Or would you like to start the rookie wage scale right now, reset the clock, with a guy with more upside at the very least? I mean, if you get maybe Zach Wilson, sure. Or Justin, but I'm saying trade back. Jets fans, would you like to restart the clock with Justin Fields? Restart the clock with him? Get more draft capital? You already have, what is it, three firsts in the next 2 years? Three or four. You have a ton of draft picks. And get even more and build around Fields, start fresh? Or do you want to keep Sam Darnold and get him a tight end? I like my plan better. All right, let's get some calls. Raj, are we going to be able to take calls? Because I don't hear anything.
Put me up. Yeah, I'm going to hit the 1-800-SNITCH hotline. Brendan was back there offering me a trade in fantasy baseball for the upcoming season keeper. So he wasn't really paying attention. So then he caught him by surprise when SportsCenter entered and he didn't hit your music. And so luckily I was here to save the day and just told you to go. But Brendan, yeah, he's worried about his fantasy baseball team. But yeah, I think you should take a call. They'll be able to hear you. You can hear them.
If you're hearing Raj, you'll hear the callers. We're back in business now.
Yeah, I know. I also know how to interpret what Raj says. It means that Raj was doing those things. That's what that means when Raj was saying. Nick in Brooklyn, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. I was just wondering, like, how could you even laugh at Knicks fans for bumping their chest for the season they're having? We've been laughed at for the last 2 decades. Just let us have this one, man. We finally have a gritty team. I think you should just – if you were ever really a Knicks fan, you'd be able to understand.
No. Nick, this is – how old are you, Nick?
I'm 21. I've never seen the Knicks do anything good in my life.
You're 31 or 21?
21.
I'm 47, brother. More than twice your age, okay? I've seen the Knicks do some good things, make deep playoff runs, give you some hope here and there. Here's the bottom line. You're not having a great season. You're 2 games under 500. That is not a great season. And if you're a real Knicks fan, then you don't you support the team no matter what. No, by doing that, you're enabling Jim Dolan. You're enabling him. And he's known for decades. I got a captive fan base here. They got no choice. Nets play in Jersey. There's no other local team. I do whatever the hell I want. To hell with the fans. By the way, that's why when a fan heckled him, he just had a sign saying sell the team. Dolan had him escorted out of Madison Square Garden for saying he should sell the team with a sign. What? That's what he thinks of the fans. So at a certain point, he has systematically lowered your expectations to the point where you're like, oh, they play defense. They're actually trying, and they're only 2 games below 500. What a year! No, that's just enabling behavior. No, I don't even think that's really being a Knicks fan. Nope. I don't think it's possible to really be a Knicks fan. That's my point. That's my point. Real Knicks fans would boycott the team. Nyoti in Washington, is that how you pronounce your name?
Yeah, it's Nyoti. I'm from Seattle.
Nyoti. Okay.
Yeah. I watched a lot of First Take, and I kind of caught what you guys said this morning about the Utah Jazz, so I wanted to touch on that. I heard what you just had to say to Perk as well. And just bear with me. It's kind of a packed question, but you touched on the fact that they're playing top five offensively and defensively, at least from an efficiency standpoint. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at something crazy, and it's that the Jazz are 26-6, the league's best record, but they also have the league's easiest remaining schedule. So that's just a deadly combination.
Deadly. But what does that mean for the playoffs? You know, even if they have the one seed, can they win in the playoffs? I would say for optimistically, you look at the series against Denver, they took them to game 7 without Bogdanovich. And that was when Conley didn't know what he was doing yet. So what's the question?
Great point. So, yeah, that might afford them, you know, they may be able to rest down the stretch and be healthy this time around. But it's a two-part question. The first part is, how important is it that the Jazz get that one seed so the L.A. teams likely end up on the same side of the bracket? And the second question is, are you concerned that the Jazz may have peaked too early?
No, I'm not concerned they peaked too early. I think it's vitally important they get the one seed. I don't think they get by both the Clippers and the Lakers. By the way, have you seen the way Kawhi Leonard's been playing? Remember when I said last year the problem is he's become a better passer, but he doesn't really – they need someone to organize the offense. Like, they needed a Rondo because it's too station-to-station kind of stuff. They don't have an offensive creator, really. They have two great wings. They need someone who to organize. That's Kawhi now. Kawhi's playing out of his mind. He's in the MVP conversation. And now they got their team back. Clippers are a lot. Lakers are a lot if they get AD back. I think the Jazz absolutely must have that one seed if they want to get to the finals. Hey, New York, should the Knicks mortgage the future to make a run right now? ESPN will televise the Undefeated Presents, a Room of Our Own, a one-hour special that explores the connection that black athletes have with music and the impact of that association empowering social movements. The program will debut Sunday at 12 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. A Room of Our Own will focus on how music inspires black athletes to drive change in their communities and highlight some of the athletes who have been at the forefront of social change, using their voices to express the range of emotions, anger, outrage, hope, and promise in the struggle for racial justice. The program will combine narrative storytelling, taped conversations, and roundtable discussions with performances of songs from the Undefeated Music Series. Time for the Knicks to go for it. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Yo, and the Undefeated, celebrating Black History always.
Lift every voice. And
on April 2nd, 1984, John Thompson's Georgetown Hoyas, led by Patrick Ewing, beat Houston in the NCAA championship game, making Thompson the first black coach to win an NCAA basketball title. Thompson became a coaching icon during his 27 years at Georgetown. When he passed away in 2020, several coaches honored him by wearing his signature white towel.
Black History Always, The Undefeated, and ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. LA, are you worried about the Lakers? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. New York, should the Knicks trade assets to get a piece, a more kind of franchise cornerstone type piece? And do they even have the assets to get it? Like, why would the Wizards trade Bradley Beal to the Knicks? And the Knicks are still in the playoff race. Should they mortgage some of the future to take a shot at the playoffs run, at a playoff run now, even if it means an asset that may not be there long? I mean, do the Knicks have a healthy enough culture that whatever asset they traded for would want to stay? 888-SAY-ESPN. Dan in Maryland, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, Max. I just had a question. So do you really think that the Jets should draft a quarterback over a wide receiver? Because I still believe that Sam Darnold still has it in him, right? Yeah, he's had a terrible past three seasons, but you can't put the blame entirely on him, right? We know that, you know, all the quarterbacks, all the coaching changes, we all know the story about Adam Gase, man. He's just been a terrible coach for them. But I'm saying that Sam Darnold still has a season in him. Just gives him one more weapon. Because, yeah, he threw over 2,000 yards, probably went like 9-11, I think, something like that. But I'm just saying, I really do believe that you give Sam Darnold just one more chance. Just gives him more chance.
Who do you want? Like, I guess at two, you can get any receiver you want. You want Devontae Smith? You want Jamar Chase? Who do you want? You know, you can get anybody. I mean, it's not like Bama didn't have a couple of guys that might be great. I just think you can also find maybe a little bit less so as time goes on. Like in Mel Kiper's mock draft, at the first 10 picks are almost all not only on offense, 9 out of the 10 are offense, but they're quarterbacks and wideouts. When it's not, it's an offensive lineman, right? So the passing game, basically, it's left tackles, quarterbacks blindside because you protect the pass and you block for the, you know, you protect the quarterback and wideouts who are game changers and quarterbacks. That's what the game's about. So maybe it's not as easy to get, but great wideouts later on. But look around the league . Devontae Adams, how many guys were not high first round? Even if they were in the first round, they were lower down. And the Jets have multiple firsts. You know, you may not, you may be able to get a great wideout and not burn your high up draft pick. And do I think Devontae Smith with Sam Darnold is the thing that's going to do it? No. I'd rather trade Darnold for more draft capital, grab Justin Fields with the later pick, because you could trade down several slots at least, I'll bet, and get Justin Fields, and still wind up with tremendous wideouts. And by the way, there'll be great wideouts in next year's draft, where the Jets have a lot of draft capital. Vincenzo in Staten Island, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, how are you doing today? I could actually answer both your questions. So my first one was, I'm kind of agreeing with him in giving Sam Darnold another year. I just don't think that a quarterback so high is worth a pick when we have so many other glaring needs on defense, not only our offensive line. We still really don't even have a running back on top of wide receivers. And I don't think that the Knicks should trade assets for Bradley Beal, such as like players like R.J. Barrett and Emmanuel Quigley and whoever else, because the camaraderie in that locker room, Tom Thibodeau said it himself.
I hear you. Listen, I hear you. I got to wrap it up, but I hear you. Here's the thing. I like Quigley a lot. Barrett showed me something in college. If you can get Bradley Beal, none of these dudes are ever going to be Bradley Beal today. Like, Bradley Beal today is more than any of these dudes are ever going to be. And I'm not knocking these dudes. They're going to be some good players on this team. But that camaraderie and all that potential and everything got you to two games under 500 right now. That's where you are. If you have a chance to get a franchise cornerstone, I think you take it. Darnold, I had high hopes for. It's been 3 years now. He's been the worst starter in football. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.